As we were reminded in yesterday's Civil Beat discussion of Governor Ige's planned vetoes, Hawaii remains the only state without a sex trafficking law. The governor has said the bill as written, that was passed by the legislature this session, as written, is untenable with loopholes that could make law enforcement's job more difficult. That's troubling to Catherine John of the Pacific Alliance to Stop Slavery, who worked long and hard for the passage of SB 265. She's with us to give us her perspective. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Let's define sex trafficking law, because obviously prostitution is illegal in Hawaii, but what's different about a sex trafficking law?
Right. Prostitution is still illegal. We didn't change that. But the difference between prostitution and sex trafficking is that sex trafficking involves the forced, coerced, forcing or coercing a person into the sex trade against his or her will, or controlling children, making them into prostitutes.
Which accounts for a great many kids on the street.
Yes.
Engaging in prostitution.
Hawaii has a really big problem with child trafficking that still hasn't been addressed. And we were hoping that the sex trafficking bill, if passed, would address that. And it would if it passes. We're concerned about a lot of the misleading statements coming out of both the prosecutor and the governor's office. Really, essentially, what this boils down to, and the reason why they say this bill is faulty and would prohibit proper prosecutions of sex traffickers or pimps, is because essentially the way they've been doing these cases is by criminalizing the victims. And so we're appalled, straight out. So even the sex trafficking victims, they want to force to testify, treat like criminals, and say, if you don't testify against your trafficker, we don't care how much danger that puts you in. We're going to charge you with another offense.
Well, that's, in police terms, that's how you make a bust. You bust a girl for being a prostitute, and you say, okay, we need you to hand in your pimp and or else.
Right,
and there's under threat.
Right, but there is actually a law that covers that. It's called promoting prostitution. Mm-hmm. If that girl or woman is forced into prostitution, that's when sex trafficking kicks in as a Class A offense, the highest penalty in Hawaii, and you have to treat them as victims. Now, the prosecutor has said over and over again in last session during hearings that he does not consider even sex trafficked victims.
Do they cite a difficulty in proving that someone was coerced into prostitution? Is that part of the issue?
Well, it's not too difficult. It is a challenge, but that's what separates promoting prostitution from sex trafficking. If there's an element of force, coercion, threat, or fraud, then it boots it into a different category entirely. Now, with regard to children, there's no need to prove those elements. And so even more for children, the reason why the sex trafficking law is so important is because police and prosecutors still have the ability to criminalize and put in jail, in prison, juveniles who are sex trafficked.
If you're a juvenile who is in the life as a result of sex trafficking, everything in your life is a form of coercion, whether it comes from the police or from your pimps. Everybody's coercing you, mm-hmm. is what it sounds like that their landscape mm-hmm. is from the way you're describing it.
Mm-hmm. Most of our survivors that we've helped to realize their healing potential have been recruited as children. About 85% of our survivors fall into that category. So they age into prostitution as adults, and you know, people consider them, you know, lifers, or you know, they choose this lifestyle, which really it's not the case.
But there is a lot of rhetoric around to that effect.
A lot of rhetoric because you know, these traffickers steal away the most important years of a developing young woman's life when she should be in school or getting some sort of job skills and perfecting her character. They steal that away to use her for sex.
Well, it's to me, it's no accident that your organization is called the Pacific Alliance to Stop Slavery, because you're deliberately putting a very dramatic term to it. Because if you're doing something without pay against your will, that's what it is.
Right. You know, I'd also like to pinpoint another point of argument that the prosecutor and the governors bring up is the quote-unquote loopholes that they are desperate to bring out in the bill, which really are non-issues that could be settled by any judge if this law was implemented. And then the governor says that he's going to leave the issue with Doug Chin, our attorney general. What we fear with that incentive is that the attorney general and the prosecutors who are already against a victim-centered sex trafficking ban because they don't want the abusive sexist paradigm to change with regard to how they bust traffickers and criminalize the girls who are victims, is that they will create a cosmetic sex trafficking law to appease the public while keeping the existing laws intact, allowing prosecutors and HPD to criminalize the victims.
I'm puzzled that it would be in anyone's interest to keep what you describe as an abusive sexist system in place. I mean, the layman's perspective on this is, doesn't everybody want the same thing?
People will say that they want the same thing, and nobody will outwardly say that they're against sex, that they are for sex trafficking, that they're for criminalizing victims. A prosecutor has actually done that, but you know, people are smart enough to say the right thing that everybody wants to hear. But the proof is in the pudding. You know, in practice, how these laws play out are very, very different, and we have witnessed the successes that we have been responsible for with treating victims as victims throughout the court system, where they want to actually testify once they feel safe and they can trust somebody. What hasn't worked, and we've seen time and time and again, are how many survivors who are forced to testify and their case gets dropped.
At which case there are targets of retaliation.
Exactly. And that's got to end, because the prosecutor, nobody can help them at that point, and the prosecutors just turn their backs.
There's a sea change needed from your perspective in terms of how society views this crime and the people engaged in it.
Yeah.
Sounds like to me.
Yeah. The light at the end of the tunnel is that every year that we try to pass the sex trafficking law, and it's been 10 years now, we educate more and more general public, and they get really upset at the lack of leadership, and they will not be fooled by politics.
Well, we'll see where this goes, Kathy. Well, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks, Chris.
Kathryn Jian is the Executive Director of the Pacific Alliance to Stop Slavery, and you can learn more about her and her work on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.